Blog Talk Radio.
And yet, the longer I live, the more understandable it is as I look at the offenses and fear that led people to hate. Jesus, you bucked religious systems and upended the status quo. You ate with sinners and hung out with fishermen and tax collectors. You befriended and honored women. You didn't live according to the religious elite's view of what it meant to be righteous. You were a pure reflection of God's holy love for humanity. They totally missed it. If I am hated, let it be because I love too liberally for people's understanding. If they are offended, let it be because of the grace I extend to all people. I won't go wrong if I'm living like you, whether or not I'm accepted by others. How do you react when people don't like you? That's the message for this morning with my children. I'm doing a meditation, and that is part of my meditation. And it is, what do you do when people don't like you? People don't like you. You know, so many times, kids as well as adults get upset because somebody don't like them. Well, you know, they try to force themselves into friendship with people that don't like them. If somebody don't like you, that is their problem, not yours. We got to give it to God. So many times we want to grab a hold of what is not meant for us to grab a hold of. We are meant to walk in righteousness, and that is what we should be doing. Don't worry about he said, she said, woo-woo said, whether they like you or not. Just make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do so that God likes you. Hallelujah. And the word that God gave me this morning is, be of good comfort, but of one mind. Live in peace. Be of good comfort, of one mind. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Live in peace. We got so much hatred and envy and strife and craziness going on in our world today. You can't look at YouTube without some political foolishness popping up. You can't go to the store without some crazy tabloid foolishness popping up. You can't go anywhere without some kind of foolishness popping up. And the question is, why? Why is somebody else's business yours? Why is what's going on in somebody's doctor's office your business? Why is everything somebody else's business? It is amazing how we spend so much time in other people's business that we do worrying about our souls and our salvation. Instead, I'm going to be in your business. We've got to get out of the other people's business as our job and occupation and get into my soul means saving business. I need to spend more time with God business. I need to get into my word business. I need Jesus business. We all need the Lord, and we need him right now. You know, I used to listen to, and whenever I get opportunity to listen to my iTunes, there's a group that I love called Take Six, and one of their songs is an old song that they remade a cappella, and it's simply, if I need, if it wasn't for the Lord. And it says, I need you every day and every hour. We need the Lord every day and every hour. We need the Lord in our getting up. We need the Lord in our going to sleep. We need him every day and every hour. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? Hallelujah. Just something to think about this morning as we get into our word. And we have an Isaiah word this morning to finish up from Friday. Isaiah's kind of long, y'all. I just felt that I needed to finish up the Isaiah word, and then we will go into our New Testament, well, our Psalms and New Testament, and we will be starting a new book today. We will be in the book of Galatians, and so I'm kind of excited about that, but let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning humbly seeking your face, God, humbly asking you, Lord, to come in, to take a seat, to lead us, to guide us, to help us along the way, Lord. We're coming to you, God, asking you to help us to be the best men and women of God that we can be, that we ask you, Lord, to show us the way to salvation, the way to a hope in the future, Lord God. We're asking you, God, to forgive us of sin, seen and unseen. Lord God, clean our hearts. Give us right spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, give me a clean heart and put a right spirit within me. Lord God, clean me with hyssop. Take away all sins, God, seen and unseen, that I will not speak your word without you, God. I ask you, Lord God, to come into my home, clean out all things not like you, God. Hallelujah, Lord God, I pray the prayer of salvation, God. I believe in Jesus Christ, who is the risen King, who is my Savior, who died on Calvary's cross for me, and who loves me more than I could ever think I love myself. I give myself to you, Jesus, and ask you to come into my life 100% that I will walk in righteousness. I will walk in faith. I will walk in hope and love. I will walk with you. In your name, Christ Jesus, I pray, lifting up this lesson, that someone who hears it and does not know you as their Lord and Savior will ask, what must I do to be saved? How can I get to know Jesus? Father God, I give myself away. Use me, Lord. Use me for your glory. And Lord, I lift up churches today. I lift up pastors today. I lift up my pastor today. I lift up Pastor Goss today as Abundant Faith celebrates their 30th birthday, 30 years, God. And I ask you to give them many, many more. And I ask you to bless my church as we celebrate 13 years, God. I ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us in the direction that we will go, that we will one day celebrate 30 years. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for my church, Table of Life Ministries. I thank you for my pastor, Pastor Justin here. And I thank you that you gave me a foundation, another foundation, as you helped me and guided me back into your loving arms at Abundant Faith Christian Center, God. And I lift up their day of celebration, asking you to let it be one of their best celebrations. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. You know, I think about the 30 years that Abundant Faith is celebrating this morning. And I think about how grateful I am that I walked through those doors in 2000, almost 20 years ago. I walked through those doors and I felt God again. I felt his presence again. And I'm so thankful for it. So kudos and happy anniversary to London St. Christian Center. So let's get into our word. We are coming out of Isaiah chapter 40. And it says, comfort ye, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And that those verses are in Handel's Messiah. They are in Handel's Messiah. Every time I read those verses, I hear the music in my head. And all I can say is, wow, God, thank you so much for putting those words into my spirit. God is good. And it says, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or as his counsel has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor is beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith spreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution. Chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it been not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out the host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. What a word. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I have just read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 31. What a word of God. Whew, what a word of God. And I'm sure you're like, wait a minute, haven't I heard that scripture before? Absolutely. But think about it. It came from Isaiah. Hallelujah. You know, today I have to sing a song. And the song that God gave me was, grace, we all have been broken at one time or another. When I am weak, he is strong. Hallelujah. All I can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being my strength. Thank you for being my strength in times where I am weak. Thank God every day that he loves you more than you can imagine. And as we get into our word, life lesson by Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye. Comfort my people, says your God. Isaiah's prophecy about Babylon came true a century and a half later in 586 B.C. when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. Yet Isaiah saw both the destruction of his people and their eventual regathering and redemption. Even before the judgment fell, he prophesied of grace to come. That is God's way, hope in the midst of suffering. Always with us, in the midst. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Excuse me. My tea went down a little different. I had to have my cup of tea this morning. And it says in Isaiah 40:8, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Can y'all say that with me? The word of our God stands forever. Critics have attacked the Bible for centuries, but it still stands. They die, it remains. The works are forgotten, generates front page news. We can bank our lives on the trustworthiness of God's word. And then it goes on to say in Isaiah 40:25, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? God has no rival, no peer, no equal. Satan is merely a fallen angel that we give a little too much credit. God therefore deserves all our trust and promises to renew that trust in ways beyond our comprehension. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I just have to go back and read Isaiah 28:31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the noise weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can you praise God with me this morning? And thank him for another day, because he gave it to you. Let's not waste it. Let's not throw it away. Let's keep God first in whatever it is that we do. Let's get into our psalm this morning, family, and we are in the 109th psalm, starting at verse number 6. Set a wicked man over him and let an accuser stand at his right hand. Then he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let the children continually be vagabonds and beggars. Let them seek their bread also from the desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Wow. That's some harsh stuff. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let it be the Lord's reward to my accusers and to those who speak evil against my person. David didn't always do praise the Lord. David sometimes put a curse in some things. He said, but you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me. Hallelujah. But he prayed for himself. Deliver me. Because he wanted to be delivered from wanting to cast dispersion. He wanted to be delivered from wanting to cause somebody else to stumble. He wanted to be delivered. And he said the Creator. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now, David. He said, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow. I am gone like a shadow. When it lengthens, I am shaken off like a lotus. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their heads. And I have just read the 109th Psalm, starting in verse number 6. What a word from God. And as we go into our proverb this morning, I am in the 25th proverb, starting at verse 27. And it says, it is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. I got to read that again. It is not good to eat much honey, because you don't get sick. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. The folks that always got an eye, and I did this, and I did that, and I had the biggest this, and I had the greatest that, and I. What do you say? Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. God is giving us warning. God is giving us warning. And that was Proverbs chapter 25, verses 27 through 28. Proverbs. Let me find this. 26 and 1, starting at verse 1. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Whoa. Honor is not fitting for a fool. And it says, let a fitting spot, a fleeting sparrow, like a flying sorrow. So a curse without cause shall not alight. A curse without cause. God don't play. He wants us to be the best that we can be. And that comes from treating our fellow men with the respect that they are due. We want respect. We got to give respect. We want to be treated with kindness. We got to give kindness. And as we go into our 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we will be going in to Galatians this morning. And I have your Know Your Bible. We'll go over a quick overview of Galatians before we get into it. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, and our title is coming out of this scripture. And it says, this will be the third time I am coming to you. This is Paul to the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth. He says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as if I were present, second coming. And now, being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. But though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. But we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. For the word, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable. Though we may seem disqualified, but we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. But we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. There it is again. We just had that in the book of Isaiah. Just spoke that in the book of Isaiah about being weak and God being strong. God is speaking to us this morning. You know, as we go back to Isaiah chapter 40 and we go to verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. What a word. What a word this morning. And I say it again. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. Finally, brother, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And as we go to the life lesson for 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, Christ is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. And that's something we as Christians have got to remember, that Christ is mighty in us. Some mistake the grace and love and patience of Jesus for weakness. When he does not immediately respond to rebellion with discipline, they feel encouraged to sin more boldly. But Paul warns us never to confuse God's love with weakness. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Despite the Corinthians' problems, Paul does not believe that they have trusted Christ in vain. He sees their genuine spiritual gifts, their repentance, their love for God, and he wants these things to encourage them to further grow. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In this simple but beautiful benediction, Paul calls attention to all three persons of the Trinity. As a single Godhead, they work together for our spiritual growth and joy in the Christian life. Hallelujah. What a mighty word spoken by the Apostle Paul. As we go into our Galatian word this morning, Paul is now writing letters to the Galatians, to the Galatian church, because they was messing up too. It wasn't just the church in Corinth. It was the Galatians too. And the author of Galatians is the Apostle Paul. And it was written around A.D. 49 as one of Paul's earliest letters. And it says this in 10 words or less. We're going to describe Galatians. Christians are free from restrictive Jewish law. Can I say it again? Christians are free from restrictive Jewish law. In detail. Details, please. Writing to several regional churches, Paul can only marvel. The Galatian Christians have turned from their freedom in Jesus back to the rules of Old Testament Judaism. Some people tried to compel Christians to live as do the Jews. And we have that going on right now. That is going on right now. An error even the Apostle Peter makes. Paul argued strongly that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. For the just shall live by faith. Can I say that again? And that's in chapter 3. The just shall live by faith. A quotable, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We know that's the 5th chapter of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit. Not fruit, but fruit of the Spirit. Unique and unusual. One of Paul's closing comments, you see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand. Make some believe that poor eyesight was the apostle's thorn in the flesh. Excuse me. So what? Old Testament rules don't control Christian lives, but God's Spirit should. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ooh. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And as we get to Galatians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with you, with me, excuse me. And then he's going to write this letter to the churches of Galatia. They was acting up. They was acting up. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from his present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let it be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I now persuade men are God, or do I seek to please men? But if I still please men, I will not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brothers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apart for me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Not concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterwards, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches a faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. And we'll do life lessons after we read chapter 2 of Galatians this morning. And chapter 2. And it says this, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation lived by any means I might run, I had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brothers secretly brought in, who came in by sleep to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. But those who seem to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, ye who worked effectively in Peter, for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor and the very thing which was also were eager, which we were, which I was also eager to do. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as a Jew, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. But if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. But through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I gotta read that again. For I through the law died, but I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, but if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Wow. Paul did not mind telling it like it was. He did not mind going there. He did not mind telling even Peter off. Paul didn't play. And as we go back to some life lessons and questions this morning, a life question is this: how can I have God speak? From the epistles, We know that Paul often began his letters, "Grace to you and peace from God, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." It started in Galatians chapter 3, which we just, chapter 1, verse 3. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. And Philemon chapter 1, verse 3. Look at all these books that Paul wrote. Think that through. 1 Timothy, he wrote that with Timothy. And it goes on to say, of course, he knew that the key element is true. Lasting peace is the presence of God. Isaiah says to God, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26 and 3. Christ is our peace. His presence is the presence of peace within us. And it goes on to say, so Jesus declared, in me you may have peace. God wants us to have peace. What is this peace? It is an inner sense of contentment and quietness, regardless of life circumstances. It is steadfast, confident in our ever-faithful, immutable Heavenly Father. It is the presence of joy in the midst of unhappiness. True peace does not merely paint our pain with a pretty color. A person who has genuine godly peace can endure an avalanche of hardship and difficulty and still enjoy an inner peace that surpasses all human understanding. Why? Because it does not come from pleasant circumstances. Nice events are good things others may do to us. Instead, it is based on the fact that the spirit of a holy, omnipotent, and never-changing God lives within us. Does enjoying God's perfect peace mean that you'll never feel the effects of the storms raging around you? Hardly. But his peace is complete, adequate, and sufficient for anything you keep that you may face. Keep in mind three keys to experience the same peace. Focus on God. Perfect peace comes when you fix your mind on God. You must discipline yourself to meditate on God's presence and work. When you spend time concentrating on a problem, does it not seem to grow bigger? In the same way, you will have a greater sense of God's peace and provision as you fix your mind on Him. Number two, trust Him. You never have to worry about God acting too late are providing insufficient help. His timing and purposes are perfect. In fact, he uses your tribulations to reveal more of himself to you. His word is full of rock-solid promises, many of which involve granting you peace. Know that he will always honor them. Meditate on his word. Psalm 119, Psalm verse 165. Emphasizes that those who love God's word have great peace and nothing causes them to stumble. Your most precious material possession is your Bible. Every believer should love God's word and feast on it daily. That's what we do. If you love it, you're going to believe what it says, and then it will guide and anchor your life. Can you say thank you, Lord? In Galatians 1, 3, and 4, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Jesus saved us out of an evil age so that we might become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as light. Philippians 2 and 15, Galatians 1 and 8, even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Whenever someone promotes a restored gospel or a secret gospel or a fresh gospel or any other gospel that deviates from what the Bible clearly teaches, run for your life. That person promotes death, not life. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. The gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. The gospel of salvation by grace through faith by which we receive new life through the risen Savior Jesus Christ is no human invention. Paul did not conceive it, nor did the other disciples. It comes directly from God. And I can do nothing more than say thank you, Dr. Stan, for these words to get us understanding the word of God. And as we go to Galatians chapter 2, it says this, false brothers secretly come in by sleep to spy out our liberty. There is something about freedom that many people, even within the church, simply can't tolerate. Come on now. Think about it. We see it today. Wanting to take away folks' freedom. Want to tell people what they can do in the privacy of their own home. Tell people what they can do in their doctor's office. Tell people what they can do in the voting booth. Trying to take away every freedom from everybody. Because, tell you what books you can read. When they need to be taking some time in reading this mighty book. Because then they will understand their own intolerance. They will try all sorts of tactics, both obvious and veiled, to bring you under their control. Don't let them. Galatians chapter 2, verse 13, even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. We should never imagine that our sin affects only ourselves and no one else. Peter didn't mean for his sin to infect others, but it did. That's why we have to rely on God's Spirit to help us avoid spreading spiritual disease. And I just have one more thing. I'm just going to hit it real quick. Life principle. To live the Christian life is to allow Jesus to live his life in and through us. Many Christians today seem content to live an adequate Christian life. They believe that if they go to church, read their Bible occasionally, and say their prayers once in a while, they are all right with God. Occasionally, they may volunteer to serve others at church, perhaps as an usher, a member of the church committee, or a home visitor, or an evangelism team, which they consider ministry above the norm. May I challenge you today? God doesn't call you or anyone to merely adequate Christian life. He desires to have a daily walking and talking relationship with you in which you experience his presence. Trust him for wisdom, courage, and strength, and rely on him for remarkable results. With every step you take, every decision you make, every conversation you have, and every thought you entertain, the Lord desires to live within you. Thank you so much, family, for listening in. I have a few words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. And a word for yesterday is good morning. Pray that you will know God is with you for you, that he is going to help you to make a way where there seems to be no way. Cast all your cares over to him. He has you. Have a safe in God Saturday. And the word for this morning is my scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have a blessed Sunday, family. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for just being there for us. Thanking God for his grace. Thanking God for the blessings that come from him. Thank God for all things work together for good because we trust in God. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap. Have a great day. God bless you. God keep you. God let his face shine upon you and give you grace. Have a great day. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to get ready to go to church.